to uncover the second pillar of truth that I want to talk about this morning. He uses four statements using the conditional word if that has the expected response or answer to the if statements to be a resounding yes from the Philippian Christians. He's not asking these things or making these statements with the if to say, well, what do you really think? He expects them to stand up and shout yes. And the first is, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, brothers and sisters, being united with Christ means that you stand in a relationship with Christ. Being united with Christ means you have been saved by Christ. We have encouragement by being united with Christ. That's a given. He says if, but we know it's true. Because Christ and the relationship and His life lived in us brings us encouragement constantly. If any comfort from whose love? Not the world's love, not my love, not your love, not grandma's love, His love. If you have any comfort. And so this second statement of condition, do you have comfort from His love? Yes, we have comfort from His love. In our own lives, when you know that you are loved by someone, it brings you comfort and it brings you peace. We had our three grandsons again all weekend. We're going to have them almost every weekend this month. And the seven-year-old on his own is learning to write. And I'd wrote a note and said, Caleb, Papa's in danger, come find me. And then I go hide somewhere and we do that. And he learns to read. He wrote a note, just a short, spelled it all wrong basically, but Papa, you're the best Papa ever, and I love you. From F-R-U-M, Caleb. Do you think that kind of love from that grandchild brings comfort? Absolutely. Well, more than that is the love of Jesus Christ in your life for you as an individual. You are His brother, His sister. You are a child of God. He loves you, and that is to bring you comfort. Does anybody here have comfort from Jesus' love? A lot of people may not like you, and a whole lot of people may not love you. But Jesus loves you. I loved it. I don't know the theologian's name. He's been dead many years, but it's a quote. He was retiring, and he got up, and they asked him the question, what's the greatest truth that you've learned in all of your learning and all of your Bible study? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you. You have encouragement because you're connected and united with Christ. You have comfort because of His love for you. If any common sharing in the Spirit, that word common could be if any fellowship in the Spirit. We have fellowship with the Spirit because God sends the Spirit, and the Spirit lives in the believer, and the Spirit guides and counsels and teaches and encourages. We have a sweet common sharing in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit touches our conscience and our heart so that we will even have tenderness and compassion. Tenderness, gentle, looking out, seeing others in their situation, and being compassionate. but it all points back to what we have in Jesus Christ. And then he moves into verse 2. He says, if those are spiritual realities that you understand and that you acknowledge with a yes, there's one more thing I want you to mature in, because it will make my joy complete. By being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and in mind. By being like-minded, having the same love as who? Christ. You see, Paul says these spiritual truths are a reality in your life if you belong to Him. But he sees something that the Philippian Christians are lacking. And we all lack this second pillar of truth that we need to embrace in our lives, that he's uncovering more and more as he moves through the text. But he says, I want my joy to be complete, and it will be complete if you, as a brother or sister in the Lord, or the church as a whole, will have the like-mindedness of Jesus. You know, our statement is, we want to be disciples who love and live like Jesus. Well, this is the idea. We want to be like-minded with Jesus. And so he says, can you have the same love for others, especially the family of God that Jesus has? Can you mimic and imitate that love? Now, you know how hard that is. That is not our default position, but it's supposed to be. And that's why we have to stay close to the Lord and stay in the Word, so the Word continually speaks to us. There's a passage we'll look at a little bit later. I'll refer to it just briefly, but I'll say something about it now. Paul says in Romans 1:14, in regards to staying close to the Lord and staying in the Word, in Romans 1:14, he says, I am a debtor to both Jews and Greeks, wise and unwise. I'm a debtor. I owe them something. And he says, that's why I'm excited to preach the gospel. There's the gospel. But I'm a debtor. Paul saw himself as someone that owed everybody. And he says in that text that as Christ speaks to him, he hears from Christ. And you know, the Word of Christ does speak to us through His Holy Word. And whenever we quit listening to that word, we quit hearing from the Lord. And so, the essence of verse 2 is Paul will be completed in his joy if they will have the mind of Jesus, if they will have the love of Jesus. Just as Jesus was one in spirit with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, what? Value others better or above yourself. I hope that it's starting to come clear that the second pillar of truth is for you and I in greater ways as Christians to embrace the attitude and the mindset of Jesus, which was humility. Jesus was humble. And Peter begins to impress on this humility and humbleness of Jesus Christ, calling us to embrace that same mindset an attitude. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Well, everybody does, for the most part, that, because we put ourselves first. We put ourselves first. And yet, Paul, writing as he reflects on Jesus' life, says, but rather, in humility, value others better than yourself. Do you know what verse 3 sounds like? What other verse does it sound like to you? It sounds to me like this verse right here. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. There you start to see it develop. But I'm going back to verse 3 because this word value is literally the word count. How is it that you can count someone above yourself whenever you can look at that individual and say, I might really be better than them in these certain areas? How is it possible for me to count somebody? Well, it's count as. When you look at the life of Jesus, was there anybody above Jesus in this world? Absolutely not. And yet, Jesus' humility and humbleness, he put others before himself. And that is the example that we are being shown. Not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That's what Jesus did. He's getting ready to open up full throttle to show us the depth of his humility and humbleness before his God. But love your neighbor as yourself is the mindset and the attitude that Christ Jesus had. And the only way to have that in our lives is to be in the presence of God and allow the Spirit of God to move our hearts to desire to be that way. Is humility a part, a big part of who you are? Do you see Jesus' humility in the text? Or do you consider yourself first and others second? He says it this way in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 7, the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And then again, Romans 1:14, I'm a debtor to both Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and foolish. You see, when we have that second pillar of truth, humility, and we are imitating that humility in our hearts so that it becomes the default position in our life, that, you know, I am looking out and I am helping and I am serving others, putting them before myself. That is when you can see that you have humility. Look right here with me at this. Counting others above yourself is helping and serving others when it's inconvenient. You ever done that? When it's unappreciated, that ever happened? Or when it's time consuming? Or it's stressful? You ever helped somebody and that stress that they bring into your world, even though you're not supposed to let them, it does? You ever help somebody and it's costly to you? That is the essence of what Jesus Christ did. And that is that second pillar of truth. The pillar of truth that we are to be humble. And it is right for me to feel that way. And it is right for you to feel that way. But it's most important that we be that way. in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. We're going to think like Him. We're going to act like Him. We're going to be like Him. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing. You know, I think when we look at the incarnation of Jesus Christ and we celebrate His birth at Bethlehem and then His life, we look at it and it is a joyous thing for us. But from God's vantage point in the person of Christ, it was a step so low that Paul would describe it as He made Himself nothing. He put everybody before Himself. Oh, could you imagine a church where everybody kept trying to put each other's interests above themselves? One of the things that L.J. Buter does over here is he'll bring a cup of coffee to Jack Myers. Could you imagine 50, 60, 70 of us fighting over who gets to bring coffee to Jack Myers? Or each other? Jesus made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, becoming flesh. That was humbling Himself for your interest, for my interest, for the interest of the world. And that's what we're called to. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross, Paul says, because it was a curse of God in the view of people to be hung on a tree. And when Jesus was nailed to the cross, it is referenced in the New Testament that He was hung on a tree. And that was a punishment for the absolute worst sinner and the lowest of lows. And Jesus, He suffered the indignity of it, and He suffered the pain of it. That is the ultimate picture of humility from the Son of God, our Savior. That is what has blessed us and united us with Christ. That is how He shows His love. And that is how we show our love to others as well. John 13, remember that passage? Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also so wash one another's feet. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So John 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Peter has trouble with it, but finally embraces it. Jesus says it's a teaching, not that you have to wash people's feet, but it is an example that our Lord, in His life, humbled Himself, and He washed the dirty feet of His disciples. We see that again and again in Jesus' life. He was born in a little town of Bethlehem that had no big reputation. He was placed in a manger and probably was in a cave. He was humble, humble, humble all throughout His life until His death. You will be blessed if you do them. How will you be blessed? That's what I want to know. And Paul answers it in Philippians chapter 9. In regards to Jesus, therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. Well, first, when Jesus humbled Himself before His heavenly Father and He went through those great acts of surrender in His humility out of His love for the Father, it says God exalted Him. God lifted him up. You see, so many people want the accolades and the attaboys and the attention and the recognition from others to feel like significant, to feel important. What Jesus wanted was to be obedient to his heavenly Father, and in his heavenly Father's timing to exalt and lift him up. Oh, it's nice for someone to say, oh, that was good, or boy, that was nice, or that was sacrificial, or thank you for doing that. Those things are nice. But wouldn't you rather, instead of trying to get something for yourself, just humble yourself like Jesus in all of your life, the way that you live, and let God do what he's going to do for you in his right time, and let him lift you up instead of trying to go out and just take it. The world tries to take, and God gives. That's what I want for my life. I want God to raise me up his way and his time, because there is nothing better than that for any of us. But he gave him the name, number one, that was above every name, that every knee would bow at some point in this world, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. These are the exalting blessings that God has bestowed on Jesus for his humility. And God will lift and restore you with blessings as well. But Jesus is very special because he is the one that we look to be like. Paul says in different verses, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's not saying follow me. He's saying if you see any good in me, the only good, that is Christ, and that's what you are to embrace in your life. Christians are to have the same humility as Christ. Humility is one of the greatest qualities of Jesus, which Christians are called to embrace. So, this morning, I challenge you to just look at your life and reflect. And ask yourself, really and truly, am I a humble person like Jesus? Do I really live a life that inconveniences myself, may even cost me something, may even burden and trouble me, but I do it because I want to be like Jesus? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to ask you all to stand. I'm going to try something here. How many of you have heard this song? Raise your hand if you've heard it. Oh boy. I'm going to sing the opening line, and then I want you to repeat what I sing, okay? Can we do that? Don't let me down. And I need you to sing. Not like, but I want us to really get this message of humble yourself. So I'll sing the first line and you'll repeat it. And I'll sing the second line, you'll repeat it. And we'll go through and we'll just see how it goes. If it goes bad, I'm going to blame Matt. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now join me and let's do it together at the same time. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The humblest man was the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was lifted up. Now let's put some real heart into it, brothers and sisters. You're sounding good, but we're a little weak. One more time. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The humblest man was the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was lifted up. And He was lifted up. Amen. Give a shout of praise to our God. You may be seated. So God bless each and every one of you. God has given us a wonderful Christian family here at Kentwood. He has blessed us with some men that I have seen sacrifice and lead and meet late and, you know, just try to do everything they could to be good shepherds of the great shepherd. So continue to pray for Jeff Rayner and John Gooch as they join us. Continue to pray for Mike as he is just in this season of being refreshed. Pray for the country. Pray for the state. Pray for our church family. We want this church to truly be a church that embraces and comes together as a people that proclaim the gospel and a people that are humble like Jesus Christ. I promise you, because God says it, it's true. Quit trying to do things in your might and strength. Humble yourself in the Lord's sight, and in His time, He will lift you up just as He's done His Son. Amen? Give a shout of praise to God, and Matt's going to come out and close us. I guess I'm going to close this. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for each heart, each person here. God, You are so good. And I'm introducing Lord Jeff Rayner with Compassion International. So everybody please sit down. I tried to get you out of here by noon.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today is Compassion Sunday here at Kentwood Christian Church. And you may have noticed it's a little different timing this year. Because of COVID, we were not able to do it in the spring. It had to be postponed till now. Also, because of COVID, the children in the Compassion Ministry are in dire need of help and hope. So we're going to show a short video here, and then if the Lord lays it on your heart to sponsor a child, come see me at the table, or if you have any questions for me, just please come see me at the table. God bless.
There are 385 million children living in extreme poverty. That's a staggering number. But before you tune out, I want to introduce you to Ketsia.
My name is Ketsia. I am 9 years old. I like drawing and playing with my sisters.
Ketsia's family lives in Nueva Prosperina, one of the poorest and most dangerous neighborhoods in Guayaquil, Ecuador. Her parents are loving, but poverty is an oppressive force that robs her of her safety and threatens her very life.
We came here because we had nowhere to live. I had nothing for our daughters. Safety and security of our home is a real challenge. To get into the house, someone can just knock the wall out and get in. This is really scary for us.
There is extreme physical poverty, but what is not as easily seen is the spiritual and emotional poverty.
We see a lot of families in need. Dysfunctional families, sexual abuse and prostitution, drug addiction.
I pray every day for my family to have bread. I pray for God to take care of me and my family, especially for my uncle who is using drugs.
At times, life in Nueva Prosperina seems hopeless. But then in the midst of darkness, a light breaks through.
I'm very grateful my mom enrolled me in the Compassion Project. I learned a lot about God and the Bible. I know when I pray to God, He provides for my family. He's always watching over my family.
The main benefit of the project is the children learn the Word of God. They also get meals every time they go. When they get medical checkups, they're always in good health because of those healthy meals.
And the local church is not alone. They have the support of child sponsors who empower their ministry and speak words of hope into the lives of children in Nueva Prosperina. People like Candace, Katsia's sponsor, who recently got to visit her in Ecuador.
There was one really special photo that had their family photo and then our family photo. It was like already they put our families together. The church here has provided that safe place for them where they physically can get some of the things they need, like having a few meals a day. But more so than some of those physical needs are the relationship needs that they have. So it's important for them to have another voice that's saying, I got you, I love you, I'm praying for you. You are worthy and you're valuable and you can do it.
And in partnership with the local church, Candace is actually speaking these words of truth into Ketsia's life, and they're changing her future.
When I grow up, I want to be a veterinarian because I love animals.
Hope is a powerful thing. Will you remind one child in poverty to have hope? Will you release a child from poverty in Jesus' name? Sponsor a child today and help provide hope for everyone.